Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father and our risen Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our hearing today was just read in the Old Testament reading of Genesis chapter 2. Dear Christian friends, probably before arriving at seminary, you probably already knew that there are two kinds of people in this world. There are Packer fans and those that wish they were Packer fans. So which one are you? That's what I thought. Arguably, one of the greatest coaches in all of sports was the legendary Vince Lombardi. Back in the days of Vincent, or St. Vincent as we know them up in Wisconsin, the Packers had a most interesting beginning to the preseason of football training. All the players knew that the first meeting of the legendary coach would be quite intimidating. He'd waste no time at all getting right to the point. Many of the men, half his age and twice his size, were very fearful of him, dreading the encounter, and the coach did not disappoint them at all. In fact, he delivered a message in one of the greatest one-liners of all time. He had it in hand. He went to the front of the room. Silence, as he overlooked the assembly, he held the pigskin in front of him and said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." To which Max McGee retorted, "Coach, slow down, you're going too fast." See, in only a few short words, Lombardi communicated his point. We're getting back to basics. We have to get down to the fundamentals. The appointed reading of the Old Testament for today takes place on the first Sunday of the time of the church year that we know as the church militant. That's the time of the year when we as a Christian church especially remember the battle that's always going on around us, 24/7, 365 days a year. Satan and his minions remain in that battle, active in this world, especially engaged and especially trained for spiritual warfare. How fitting it is then, dear friends, that we should have this reading from Genesis, one that's focused on marriage. One that's focused on God's plan of marriage between one man and one woman. Adam received the gift of Eve. Eve received the gift of Adam. Not only did they receive the gift of one another, but they also received this gift of relationship. The relationship between themselves as God-given gifts, as well as their relationship between them as a couple to God and God to them. Relationship is very important, and it's a God-given gift. You see, God didn't create creation because he was so bored and had nothing to do. God didn't create creation as sort of a chessboard where he randomly moves pieces back and forth at will. God had a purpose, and in creation, it's relationships between people, being stewards of creation, the whole nine yards. Relationships are very important, and how Adam and Eve conducted their relationship with one another and with the rest of creation was an outgrowth of their faith, their trust in God as their creator. That was before the fall, wasn't it? Everything disappeared when they disobeyed God, including that of that sacred bond of relationships between people. Now, Adam, who shortly before was joyfully standing on a rock, proclaiming to all creation, "This now is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh," now is found to say, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, God, now it's your fault. Don't blame me." Broken relationships, first between God and his people, and then between family members. And isn't it just like Satan to work so subtly, so craftily, that he would conduct warfare at the most basic level of family relationships? And Satan continues his cunning work of warfare thousands of years later after his work in the garden. Pornography begins with the individual, yet later strains or severs family units and relationships. Alcohol and drug abuse destroys families left and right, leaving them in the wake of destruction. Family members are to love one another and cherish one another. And yet, Many people suffer mental, verbal, and physical abuse at the very hands of those who are supposed to love them. And all of this because of that first broken relationship between God and his creation at the hands of Adam and Eve. These things happen to non-Christians. These things happen to Christian congregations and between those who belong to the family of Christ. These things happen, sad to say, even to pastors and pastors' families. Of course, you won't find any of that here at Concordia Seminary, will you? Because, see, we're insulated here on these 72 acres of beautiful campus, and our distance students also are insulated somehow or other, aren't they? Because, see, we're students, and we are learning things, and we're preparing to be pastors and deaconesses or further our education in church work, and so we can come here as a place to escape the world. We're insulated. Satan can't touch us, right? Isn't this a place to go where we can experience 2 to 4 or 5 or even more years of sitting around a campfire with God experience 24/7? Isn't this the place to come where we can fix all our problems and have healing in that world that we're escaping from? Isn't that what seminary is about? I mean, after all, don't we have a 50-foot thick fortress wall going all around the campus stretching straight up to heaven? It's even taller than Luther Tower. Well, somebody must have left the gate open, because the problems exist right here as well. Spiritual warfare. Yes, we are to come here and we are to grow as students. We are to grow as faculty. We are to grow as staff. But spiritual warfare happens here on this campus and any other seminary that one might go to at any other denomination. Satan will not let down his defenses simply because you're currently engaged in or preparing to do the Lord's work. Satan will not let up once you get into the parish either. Satan doesn't stand at ease simply because you might be a professor of theology. In fact, he works harder on pastors, pastors' families, and church workers and their families as well. Remember, this is spiritual warfare, and you are working for Satan's arch enemy. Why on earth would he let you or me or anyone else off the hook? Satan and his minions continue to suddenly conduct spiritual warfare at the most basic level, relationships, beginning with the family, between parents and children, children and parents, spouses, and it goes on to the extended, but he starts right there. And yet, God in his mercy, at the core of his being, still desired to have a relationship with his people. God still wanted a relationship with Adam and Eve, with you, with me, with all people. So much so that he promised to break that bond of hostility and restore the relationship between him and us by sacrificing his relationship with his son, Jesus, on the cross. We hear that in the son's word from the cross, don't we? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is because of the cross that God has now opened and restored that relationship with you. The second Adam is the bridegroom. The church is the second Eve. God brings the church to Jesus Christ, that second Adam. The altar is the cross. The empty Easter tomb and that bright morning, eternal Easter morning, is the sanctuary. The baptism vows are the vows that Jesus makes with you, that you are mine. You belong to me. I am faithful. You can count on me. Spiritual warfare continues throughout the year. But as we enter into this church militant time of the year, it's good for us to remember to get back to the basics in our relationships. First with God, and then with one another. He equips us with water and the word. He arms us with the promises that he has written down in Scripture. He gives us simple yet so profound bread and water and bread and wine and body and blood. He gives us a communication pathway called prayer that he wants us to use on a daily basis from the fields of battle. Prayers for ourselves, prayers for our families, prayers for those who are the family of Christ, and also for others. This is more than simply a football. This is more than just chasing a Super Bowl trophy. These are God's gifts for us and to us to use. as we get back to the basics. During this time of the church year, then, I would encourage you to get back to the basics. Take a look at some of the fundamentals. Examine your relationship with God, with your family members, with brothers and sisters in Christ. Where do changes maybe need to be made? What relationships in your life might be strained or broken? Ask the Lord for forgiveness, for help, and for guidance. And dear friends, and if you, even in the parish you'll see this, sometimes those relationships might take months or years to even begin to heal, and maybe there might be some that just won't be healed at all. We leave this all up to God. This could also be a time to renew your personal prayer and devotional life if it's been placed on the back burner due to other things. This could be a time where you might want to take part in dorm devotions if you haven't done so yet. If you're married, you might want to begin or reinitiate some family devotion time that maybe has slid a little bit in your family. They don't have to be full-blown 60-minute, Lutheran liturgies, especially if you've got children involved there. But, even as simple as using portals of prayer, beginning to gather again once in a while for just a few short minutes. These are ways in which our relationships with God and others are strengthened, getting back to the basics, doing the fundamentals. The Lord has a precious relationship with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. May this peace which surpasses all our human understanding keep and guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ unto life everlasting. Amen. We now continue with hymn number 663.